Every Boy I Ever Kissed. Written and narrated by Nelwyn Lampert. To the Boys. Author Note. This is a true story. The events in this book are all told as they are remembered by the author, without invention or embellishment. In some cases, names, personal details, and slight chronological elements have been altered to protect the privacy of those concerned. A note on virginity. Growing up as a heterosexual woman, I felt that virginity loss, for me, would mean having penetrative intercourse. This understanding might not feel right or inclusive to everyone. I encourage you to define virginity however it feels best to you, or to reject the concept altogether. Introduction. I could already see the morning headlines. 20-year-old virgin found dead in mysterious field 5 minutes from home. It was dark, but not particularly late, on a spring evening as I followed my roommate Jess away from campus and toward unexplored avenues of urban development. If I'd been back in my hometown, this would have felt completely benign. But this was the big city, and our neighborhood had a very bad reputation. "Just trust me," Jess said as we walked deeper into an unlit field. "What's in the bag?" I asked but got no reply. At the time, the chance of us being murdered that night seemed about as likely as the chance that I would wind up an 80-year-old virgin cat lady. Which is to say, very likely. I followed Jess to where the field ended along the edge of a construction site. We stopped on a precipice and looked out over a deep cavernous gorge where backhoes and dump trucks slumbered. My friend reached into her bag and pulled out a stack of white dinner plates. "I think you need this," she said, handing me an orange Sharpie. "You're going to write everything that's bothering you on these plates, and then we're going to smash them." I almost cried. I took the Sharpie and cramped my handwriting in tiny letters across the porcelain plates, worried I would run out of room. I wrote about every boy I'd ever kissed, and every ridiculous, unexpected, and shocking moment that had brought me to the edge of that cliff. Ethan lies crying in the gutter at 3 a.m, the back of his coat wet with rainwater that hasn't yet made its way to the sewer. His phone keeps ringing in my purse, but I know what his brother's voice would say on the other end. "It's okay," I keep saying. "Just get up and we'll go home. We'll break up and you'll meet a nice guy. You just have to get out of the street first." I want to scream. I want to cry. I want to drag him up by his collar and force his feet to walk. But I can't. I must be patient, patient, and more patient. Something isn't right. Something always goes wrong. It's too dark to see, but I can feel the space between our naked bodies getting wider and wider until Ben is beside me instead of above. I hear his voice rise up out of the darkness, and I know, both instinctively and from experience, that it will shake with the timbre of an identity crisis. I think I have a pornography addiction. In the moonlight from the window, I can see Dave's face above mine as I lie back in my bed and take off my clothes. His strong jaw, his masculine nose, his eyes full of tears. I'm not surprised this time. I know what comes next. The whispered confession of a brand new secret. The warm, sinking feeling of taking a young man's body deep into my arms. The gentle stroking of his hair and the assurance that, as always, it's okay. It will be okay. I am the girl who will take your secrets deep inside her vodka-soaked heart at 2 or 3 a.m, and in the bright light of the next day, I know I will never see you again. I will turn on the water in the shower so hot that my skin flushes red all over, and I will cry where I can't be heard. I will get back into bed and roll the blankets and pillows up against my back so it feels almost as if there is someone lying there beside me, holding me in his arms. I can almost feel his slow, quiet breath against my neck, even though I can only imagine the feeling.